Hello, and welcome back to the Punks in Suits podcast. How are you? How have you been getting on since last week? People are asking me at the moment how the book is progressing. Don't you love that question? Any of you who've tried to write a book or have written a book yourself, people are always asking, how's it going? Well, the truth is that it is going hard. Firstly, writing a book is quite tough physically. You're sitting down a lot, and my work is quite sedentary anyway, but writing a book is really about sitting still and typing for long hours every day. So I am trying to get out and about a bit more and get a bit more physical exercise, doing yoga at least once a day to try to stretch out and to strengthen myself up, because sitting here in a chair is not terribly good for me. But one of the other things that's hard about it, apart from actually physically it's quite tough, is that the writing process helps you to get clear on what you really think. And I'm trying in this new book, Punks in Suits, to be really truthful, so that when I read the book back in a year or 2 years' time, I can still stand by what I wrote, which, if I look back at other books I've written, there's a lot in there that I still believe, but there are some things that maybe I hadn't examined as well as I have done today. Being really truthful in a book is quite tough. The easiest thing to do is to fall into conventional thinking and to say what everyone says without question. And I'm trying not to do that, because the whole point of being a punk in a suit, the right kind of punk in a suit, a proper punk, is that you do rethink and you do ask yourself if the assumptions that you make and the biases that you bring are really truthful for you, whether they're really working or whether they're something that you've just adopted without thought. So that's quite tough, but I think that I've broken the back of it. The book's in two parts. The first part is really context setting. It's talking about how we're no longer in the industrial age anymore, even though the way that we run our businesses and the way that we think about leadership and about work and so many of the structures that we take for granted in our life were created during the industrial age and remain in place today. And I talk about how irrelevant most of those are, considering that we're no longer in the industrial age now. I describe the age that we're in today as the personalized age, and that's because the service that we expect from the organizations that we deal with, the companies we buy from, for instance, we expect that to be much more personalized. You know, if you go on to Amazon or even to Google or to eBay or really any site, and think about your Facebook page or think about your LinkedIn page, all of these are completely crafted around you. It's a very personalized interface. It's also, I think, relevant to talk about today as the personalized age, because we expect to be treated like people. If the industrial age was all about mass communication, mass consumption, then today it's really about individualization. It's about wanting to be seen as a person, to be treated like a person at work, to be treated like a person in society. We don't like being treated en masse. And I think it's also relevant to think of today as being personalized, because we ourselves are looking for what Maslow would have called self-actualization. We're looking for something greater than just waking up, going to work, doing what the man says, and then coming home and being grateful to have a job at all. Now, of course, we still have those basic needs for food, water, shelter, security, and in some parts of the world, those things are very difficult to come by. And we take for granted that most of the time we have those things. But because most of us have those things most of the time, we can elevate our sights, and people are looking for something a bit more. They're looking for work that has some sort of meaning to them beyond just making money. And they're looking for a life that is true to them and that they have crafted for themselves. And for all of those reasons, that is why I have articulated this move away from the industrial age to a move towards the personalized age. So that's the first part of the book. And now I'm moving on to the second part of the book, which is all about myth busting. If we're not in the industrial age anymore, then our industrial age ideas about what leadership looks like and what the workplace looks like and how business operates need to be rethought. And so the second part of the book is really looking at, well, if leadership isn't all those things that we used to think of in the industrial age, then what is it? And that's what I'm working on at the moment. And the topic that I'm writing about this week is the one that I want to focus on in this podcast. And it's actually a topic that I've changed my mind about as I've been writing. And it's this concept of purpose. A lot of people are talking about the purpose of the business, what's your life purpose, trying to get those two things aligned. A lot of companies run workshops where they try to get people to connect their life purpose with the purpose of the organization. And there's a massive assumption in there that people have a life purpose, that they can articulate what it is, that having a life purpose matters to people, and that their life purpose must completely align with the purpose of the business, so that actually the business's purpose becomes your life purpose. Well, as I've been writing about this, I really started to think that can't be. Most of us take jobs for quite practical reasons. So we take jobs because we have the right expertise and because we think we'll like working at the company, and we do enjoy the work because we like the people and we like getting paid and we like feeling that we're making a difference. But we could be making that difference at one of the other companies in that same industry. Or we could be making a difference by leaving that industry and going and doing something unrelated with our talents and skills. This idea that you have to worship at the altar of the company that you work for is unrealistic, I think, and doesn't acknowledge that people are quite practical. And yes, they're often looking for something bigger and something more meaningful. But working for this particular company is not their religion. In addition, most of us find it really difficult to articulate our life purpose. It's not clear for everyone. It's not important to everyone to be as grand as that. You know, do you know what your life purpose is? Do you feel that you have a calling? There's a massive pressure on people today to have this sense of, I'm here for a reason. And if you don't have that, then something's missing. Of course, some people are really clear. Some people do have a sense of calling, and that motivates a lot of the big decisions that they make in their lives. But not everyone has that, or not everyone has that all the time. I also wonder if having this sense that you should have a life purpose is ultimately going to lead to a rather unsatisfying life. Because searching for a purpose and searching to live in accordance with that purpose is kind of like looking for something that you don't have right now. So it can lead to a pattern of thinking that is, when I discover my purpose, then I will be happy. When I discover my purpose, I will feel complete. I will know what my life is about. I will be happy. More and more, I'm coming to think that life is about the now. Life is about the simple things. Life is about spending time with your family and eating good food and watching an amazing film on TV and reading a great book and hanging out with friends and going to the theatre, whatever it might be that you just find fun and enjoyable and fills you up today. And I think those things are quite easy to fill your life with, and they bring you a sense of contentment and happiness today, and actually quite a significant sense of purpose. Whereas searching for some big life purpose, some big calling, I do wonder if it leads ultimately to an unsatisfying quest for something that maybe you'll never find. Having said that, there is something that I think most of us could do with investing a bit more attention into, and that is discovering our needs and our values. So whether or not you have a life purpose, understanding what matters to you, your values, and what your needs are, can help you to feel more in alignment with your life and more authentic as a person. I'll talk first of all about values and what values are. Values relate to what you believe, what you stand for, what makes you feel when you live in alignment with those things, that you're in integrity, that you're able to be yourself. I used to struggle with this concept when I first learned about it when I was first training as a coach. And I came up with a way of helping myself to imagine what my values were. So I thought to myself, if my life were perfect, what would I still need to have in my life for it to feel fulfilling? So I imagined myself living on a beautiful beachy island. I had money, I had financial security, I was doing things during the day that I really enjoyed. I had a picture of myself walking along the beach, lovely sunny day. Everything is great. What would stop me in that life feeling kind of bored? Well, for one thing, I would definitely want to have my family around me. That life would not feel perfect if I was there on my own. So I would definitely want to have my family around, and I would definitely want to have friends. I also thought if I wasn't growing or learning, then I would find that life kind of boring. So lifelong learning, family and friends become really important values. What if you apply that to your life? You're living your dream life when you imagine everything's great. We don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about where my next job is coming from. You picture this great life. What would you need to have in your life for it to feel interesting to you? What would stop you from getting bored? If you can't come up with any language, any words, you can just Google it. So go online, Google values lists, and lots of lists will come up. So I've done a bit of Googling for you and I found a few lists. Here's some of the words that you'll find on these values lists: enjoyment, amusement, abundance, they don't all start with A, religion, virtuosity, happiness, education, wisdom, adventure, watchfulness, certainty, encourage, teach, enable, effectiveness, impact, growth, giving, compassion, contribution, spontaneity, classy, security, stability, discipline, fairness, truth. So that's just a few. There are probably 100 words on the page that I'm looking at right now. So do a bit of Googling, have a look at the list, and then the thing to do is to circle any words that resonate with you. So you imagine yourself living this perfect life, and you think about what would I need to have in that life for it to be perfect, for it to be perfect for me. Circle any words that you would need to have. You'll probably end up with a lot. So then start to distill it down, maybe to 20 words, then see if you can get it down to 10. If you're feeling really brave, see if you can get it down to 4 or 5. 4 or 5 values is a good number to work with. Now comes the interesting part. Look at those words and ask yourself, to what extent is my life in alignment with those values right now? Some of the values, you might be able to say, yes, I live in accordance with those right now. I'm really in alignment. But there might be 1 or 2 words where you think, no, I'll need to make some simple changes if I really want to be in integrity with myself around these values. But that's all it requires. It doesn't necessarily require disrupting your whole life. And the point of doing this exercise is that you can find a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction with your life today. It isn't something that you're in pursuance of constantly and is constantly elusive. So look for 1 or 2 values and simple changes that you can make today to live more in alignment with those values. I mentioned values, but I also mentioned needs. Needs are something a little bit different, and the easiest way to describe what needs are is to describe what happens when your needs are unmet. If you imagine a jug, and you're trying to fill the jug with water, but the jug has got lots of holes in it. So the water is pouring out of these holes and you're trying to top up the jug, but the water continues to pour out of the holes. Well, that's what it feels like when your needs are not being met. It's hard to feel complete. It's hard to feel satisfied with yourself, happy with yourself, because even though you might be getting quite a lot of positive reinforcement, it's not sticking somehow. Another way to think of it is just that you're kind of needy. You're looking for something from other people that you're not getting. And the more you're not getting it, the more you look for it. Just as with values, there are lots of lists online, so do a quick Google and you'll find some. I'll give you an example of some of the words that I found on the list that's come up for me. To influence, to guide, to be perfect, to be right, to have spirituality, to be self-aware, to trust, to have wisdom, to have adventure, to be calm, to be humble, to be sensitive, to be trustworthy, to be honest, to be respectful or to get respect, to have integrity, to be truthful, to be accountable, to take control, to win, to achieve, to have power, to challenge, to compete, to lead, to create. And as I say, there are lots of other words if you look at these lists online. There are clearly some overlaps in some of that language with the values list, but you're looking at it through a slightly different lens. You're saying, where have I got these kind of leaky holes that I never feel quite complete? And you're going to do the same thing. You're going to find a list. You're going to circle any words that resonate with you. One thing to look out for with the needs list is that there might be some words that you have an immediate negative reaction towards. So when I look at this list, I have quite a negative reaction to win or to power. If you're having a strong reaction, even if it's a strong negative reaction, circle the word. Sometimes it's not terribly pleasant to acknowledge what your real needs are, which is one of the reasons that you ignore them and don't get them met. But if you do have the need to win, you will be looking for ways, subconsciously, to get that need met. And it might manifest itself in quite unpleasant or quite unhealthy behaviours. So you might become quite competitive with your own children or competitive with colleagues at work. You might measure your contribution by whether you got the credit over somebody else. You might think of everything as kind of a competition where there are winners and losers. And sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. If winning is a need for you, then you need to find some ways to get it met. But if you do that consciously, you can find some healthy ways. So you can join a sports team where winning is actually a big part of what that team is trying to do. You can play computer games. You can enter a competition of some kind and challenge yourself to be the best in whatever that subject might be. So circle words that you have some sort of either positive or negative emotional response to. And as with the values, distill that list down. You might start off with 30 or 40 words, get it down to 20, then see if you can distill it down to 10, and ideally down to about 4 or 5. It's not that the other words aren't relevant to you, it's just that it's easier to work with 4 or 5 needs at a time. And now you're going to do the same thing. What simple changes can you make in your life to get those needs met? Now, there are 2 ways to get needs met, external and internal, and you'll need both. So the external is that it's really helpful to have external reinforcement. So if you have a need to be recognized, then finding opportunities for recognition, asking for recognition, putting yourself into situations where you will get recognition is really important. And that comes from the outside. And I don't want to diminish the significance of that when it comes to getting needs met. But if that's all you do, and you don't look at how you can do the inner work around your needs, you'll still be the leaky jug with the water pouring out. So what you must do at the same time is to look inside yourself and say, if I have a need for recognition, how do I recognize myself? What do I need to incorporate into my life to give myself recognition and praise and acknowledgement? So it might be doing a gratitude diary at the end of every day. It might be framing the qualifications that you have and putting them somewhere in your house. It might be, as we have on our fridge just behind me here, all of the certificates and awards that any of us have ever achieved, no matter how ridiculous and unimportant, they go on the fridge so we can see them every day. You might create a box, an old shoe box or something like that, where you put letters or bits of feedback or anything that you've accumulated over the years that when you look through it reminds you that you have worth and that you've been recognised. And when you feel a little needy around this recognition need, you go and have a look at the box and you fill yourself back up. So I said that today's podcast was about purpose, and I haven't talked very much about purpose. In fact, what I've done is kind of reject the idea that all of us have or need to have a big life purpose. And I've said instead that getting your needs met and living in alignment with your values is more important. But there is one aspect of leadership where I think purpose is really important, and that's when it comes to business. It's becoming increasingly important that businesses identify what their purpose is, why they exist on this earth. Most companies have really divergent and competing priorities. So clearly one priority is to make money, to be profitable. But that's not the only priority, because most companies also want their employees to be happy. They want the customer to be happy with the service that they're getting. So customer service becomes a really important priority. And then there are the personal agendas. So people want to get ahead in their career. They want to be promoted. They want to get a pay rise. They want to have a larger team. They want to have more power or authority. They want to get some of their needs met, in fact, from the workplace. Companies want to satisfy the city analysts. Sometimes they also have a greater good purpose as well. And what happens is that all of these competing priorities pull against each other. So when it comes to making decisions, no one quite knows what the criteria are for making the decision. Are we making a decision that will make the most money for the business? Or are we making a decision that will sit most comfortably with our employees? Or are we making a decision that will serve the customer or that will serve our own personal agendas? And what tends to happen is that all of those different priorities get mixed up. No one really knows what the decision-making criteria are. There'll be winners and losers, or everyone's trying to find a compromise. And the decision that emerges is a terrible one because it's trying to balance up all these different priorities. Personalized leaders put purpose first. The purpose of the organization becomes their North Star, if you like. All decisions must be true to the purpose, even if it means sacrificing one of the other competing priorities. So all decisions must be true to the purpose, even if it means sacrificing employee satisfaction. Even if it means sacrificing your own personal agenda. Even if it means sacrificing profit. Profit is really a very short-term motive. If you're looking for profit out of your business, you're looking at profit in the next quarter, in the next half of a year, maybe in the next 18 months, but rarely does a sustainable strategy emerge when you're focused on profit. You make a lot of compromises when you're focused on profit. And in the end, no one wins, including the business. Focusing on purpose also dissipates politics, because all that other stuff, the personal agendas and employee satisfaction and satisfying the city analysts, is this kind of rich breeding ground for politics where people get to play these political power games against each other. When purpose is the only game in town, then everyone is pointing in the same direction. Everyone is here for the same reason. And in fact, employee satisfaction is far more likely when people are doing something that they can believe in. Now, this doesn't mean that we insist that they all pray at the altar of the purpose and that the purpose becomes their life purpose. But it's much more fulfilling to go to work and say, yes, I know why I'm here. I know why the business is here. We're all in this together. We're all pursuing the same purpose, the same priority. And in the personalized age, the customer wants to believe in the companies that they buy from too. So if you think about some of our most successful companies, some of them, not all, because we're still making the transition from industrial age thinking to personalized age thinking, but some of the most successful businesses in our world today are driven by this sense of purpose because people like to buy from companies that they can believe in. Now, of course, for businesses to continue to survive, for them to continue to serve their customers, they must make money. But this shift in focus is away from what's the right thing to do to make money to what's the right thing to do. And for me, that's a far more interesting conversation. It's almost as though you imagine that the business is its own being, its own life force. And you're asking yourself as a leader, what does the business want and need to fulfill its purpose? And I think this is a higher level conversation than some of the conversations that we would normally have around how can we make more money or how can we raise our employee engagement scores. Now, depending on the role that you have in your organization, it might be possible for you to turn the conversation in the business towards purpose, to ask, what are we here to do in the world? Beyond making money, what's our raison d'etre? And to get to the purpose, think about, this is what we do for someone else. It's not about you. It's not about employees. It's about the customer. What is the impact that you're trying to have on those you serve? And it should be connected with something in your heart. This is not a brain exercise. This is not necessarily rational. You're thinking with your heart here. What is the impact that you're trying to have on those you serve? Now, if you're not in a really influential senior position in your organization and you don't have that kind of impact to be able to turn the company conversation towards purpose, then it might be possible for you to focus on the purpose of your function or the purpose of your team by asking the same kinds of questions. Who do we serve and what is the impact that we're trying to have? If our customers were to say why we're critical to them, what would they say? What would they like to be able to say our purpose is in relation to them? This is something I'm working on myself and have been for most of this year. I'm putting service to customers above all else, and the only question in town is how can I serve? What's important to remember is that you cannot serve if you are empty. So serving and making decisions in alignment with a purpose includes self-care, it includes living authentically, it includes living by your values and getting your needs met, which is why the stuff I talked about earlier on in this podcast is so important. You need to do that first. But then, once you're starting to fill yourself up, once you're finding ways to live more in alignment with your values and to get your needs met, then you can focus on purpose. What if nothing else counted? What if your organization or your function or your team existed only for that reason and it wanted to continue to be here to do that for the customer for as long as the customer needed it to do that? How would you behave? What kind of decisions would you make? What kind of decisions would you stop making? I want to challenge you to ensure that every single decision that you make about your business or about your team or your function aligns with delivering the purpose and nothing else. Not making money, not satisfying the other people in the team, not helping you to get ahead in your career. The only thing that matters is the purpose of the organization or the function or team. This is a big deal. This is breaking a habit of trying to balance different competing priorities and focusing on one thing, which is purpose. It's going to throw up some nice little ego challenges for you too, which is always fun. So that's it. Next week, it's the first interview show. I'd love to know what you think when you've heard the interview. Do you prefer the interviews or do you like these solo shows? Is the balance right? The plan is to do one interview a month and the rest solo shows, but does that work for you? And I'm really open-minded to your feedback. And finally, as ever, I'm going to hand over to 8-year-old Ivy Palmer to remind you of some of the key points from today's podcast.
You can't be of service to others if you are not getting your own needs met. Search up lists of needs and values online and select words that resonate with you. Identify some simple changes you can make in relation to one need and one value. Keep the list under review. Don't feel you need to have a big life purpose, but Do you prioritise the purpose of the business of your function or your team? What is it here to do? Who do you serve and what purpose do you fulfil for that customer? Please remember to rate, review and share this podcast and help us help more leaders figure out how to lead in these fast-changing times.